Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is someone I've been looking forward to talking to for half the summer at least. I'm joined by Jeffrey Alan Schechter, who is the creator and executive producer of ABC Family's new hit series, Stitchers, which I completely adore. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Summer. Nice to be talking with you.
This show was such a fun surprise when it aired. I was just giddy. The little inner geek in me was just enamored, going, this is a smart, fun show. The plausible handwavium is entertaining, and the show is populated with geek culture, geek sly references, and just a bunch of engaging characters who really, really draw you in.
Well, thanks. No, I appreciate that. And thanks for pointing out the geeky references, because I think it's something that might be emotionally stunted. Those are my favorite things in the show.
The little geeky references are hilarious, because you're trying to figure out, okay, what movie was that from? What movie was this from? What TV show was that from? The little name drop of, well, now if you can name every actor who's ever played Doctor Who since 1963, then I'll be impressed. I'm like, really? We're going there?
I actually got busted on that, not least of all by my son. He said, you know what, Dad, if you really were going to be a real geek about it, you would have just said, name all the actors who played the Doctor since 1963.
Nice.
So I got nailed for trying to be a little bit clear about the geeky lesson. So for all the Whovians out there, I apologize for misstating the Doctor.
Well, you are the mad genius creator behind this show. Where did the genesis of this start with?
I'm so glad you asked. It started a couple of years ago, where some guys came to me. I was working a lot in teen and tween television, and some guys came to me with this pitch, which I thought was kind of intriguing, but knew that there were some things I needed to be changed on. It was about some kids in middle school who were like the nerds in the computer club, and yeah, I mean, really very Scooby Gang, and they created virtual reality world. A virtual reality world to go in and solve crimes. So they'd be inside this VR world with their as avatars and try to solve crimes in this virtual reality world. So there was something kind of intriguing about it. It felt a little done, but I don't know. I'm a sucker for stuff like that. So I acquired the idea and knew I wanted to age it up. I wanted to kind of get out of the teen tween space and wanted to do something with adults and maybe do it. Make it a little bit edgier. I don't say darker, even though I guess Stitchers has those moments, but certainly something that wasn't in that kid space. And then just started working on the pilot and wrote the pilot and kind of kept somewhat of the virtual reality world. But I was initially going to do this idea about stitching together security camera videos. I got some crazy statistic like, And now it's even more, but there's something like some ungodly number, like 100 million, 500 million photos are uploaded daily to the internet through people's cell phones and sharing in the cloud and security camera videos. And it seems to me all kind of neat if you could stitch all that stuff together and create a virtual reality world, and especially if it's something around the crime scene and we go in. I had this, the initial pilot had was sort of the security camera version of it, and the initial reaction was really, really good. And one of the producers who I showed it to said, you know, I really like this, but I feel like security camera video, virtual world stuff has been done. But what I've always wanted to do is see a film or see a TV show where they go into the memories of the dead. I went, oh, you know what? You're right. That is so much better. And like, went home from that meeting and swapped out security camera videos for going into memories of the dead, and turned into the into what we have today as Stitchers.
Yeah, the surveillance aspect of it really does sound a lot like what Person of Interest became on CBS.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely. Well, this was being developed before Person of Interest. Mm-hmm. Or this, my security camera version of it was well before Person of Interest, and it's one of those things, kind of in hindsight, where had I not made that change, whether the pilot script was good or not, we'd be now competing against Person of Interest. I mean, as it is, as we're going to camera on the original pilot, a zombie gets announced. So it's like, oh, oh well, you know. But it's the zeitgeist out there.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, where they had like two movies about Columbus came out at the same time, and you know, two Armageddon and Deep Impact came out at the same time. You know, it's just there's a zeitgeist out there. So we're in the going into the memories of the dead zeitgeist currently.
Well, I am happy that the show evolved to where it is, because like I said, it caught my attention for being a little bit different, still being a little bit geeky, but still having characters that had heart. And I'm a big fan of mysteries and thrillers. So the underlying arc of the mystery of what's the program's real objective, how did Kirsten become this perfect person to be the one stitched in the memories, and all the other little mysteries that have been dropped along the way intrigue me, and I'm tickled by them.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we knew going into it, I love those stories. These are kind of Chinese box school of storytelling, the Chinese puzzle box, where you've got these interlocking pieces, and you know something's important, but you're not quite sure why. And somehow you start suspecting, wait a minute, is that thing that I never even noticed before, is that suddenly important? Then you just go back and realize, oh my God, it's been there the whole time. I mean, in Stitchers, it's the mysterious wheelchair man.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally been, and I think in every episode, and I'm as the show's airing, I'm waiting. I became obsessive watching like the Twitter feed. And I'm waiting, when's somebody going to ask about Wheelchair Man? I for sure they didn't even see him in episode one, but he's way in the background there. And then by that episode three or four, people are going, wait a minute. So that was kind of, and there's so many of those things like were happening that we, our marching orders, we being the writers, was like, let's not hang a lantern on anything. It's just there. And let people catch up to us, and let's try to be a little bit ahead if we can. And the people who are responding to that are responding super strongly.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Twitter to explode with the season finale and the guy in the wheelchair, because I didn't notice him until episode four. And then, because they literally almost ran over Cameron as they're about to run into the alley, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've seen that guy before. And then in episode five, Stitcher in the Rye, when you see in the memory the conspiracy theorist giving the guy in the wheelchair food and smiling at him, I'm like, okay, this is a thing we're supposed to be paying attention to, because he's just keeps showing up. And
right.
To tease it a little bit, I've already seen the season finale, and wow, my literally still head blown.
Oh, wow. Good. Well, I'm glad you like that. Yeah, did you get a chance to go back to episode one and see the first appearance of Wheelchair Man?
I went back to see episode one, and I didn't spot him. Where is he hiding?
I'll tell you exactly where he is. He's on the street when Kirsten is going to go and investigate. She's going to try to track down Blue Door Sepulveda. She's going to do that on her own, and Cameron chases her out.
Oh, right.
What's your plan, Ace? In the way background, just pushing himself backwards across Broadway in downtown, is Wheelchair Man.
Okay.
And, you know, and I just love that. They're the first appearance of what, well, you've seen the finale, so you know what is a critical, critical character is, you know, he's the size of a peanut on screen, you know, and who knew that this guy was going to be critically important?
Yeah, because he's not quite.
I'm hoping I'm not, it's a balance, right? You don't want to get too clever by half and make it seem like, oh, you're just, you know, screwing with the audience. But yeah, I always love that stuff.
I thought it was an Easter egg of sorts, but the payoff in the season finale is quite delicious and quite surprising. No spoilers for anyone listening. I'm not going to spoil that. We'll save that till later. But the way some of the puzzle pieces we've been given during the season that didn't fit together yet, the way some of those pieces come together in the finale, it was just one anvil drop after another. And that last 5 minutes, I'm sitting there going, no, they're not going to do this. No, they're not really. Wow, you went there. Okay. And I have to wait until next year to find out what happens. Oh,
I'm either going to be, you know, wildly loved or fiercely hated by the time the finale finishes by the audience.
It's going to be a little bit of both, because I'm sitting here. It's very rare that I will sit there and talk out loud to the screen and go, no, you didn't.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of anticipation leading up to every episode that airs. The anticipation I currently have leading up to the finale is huge, just because I can't wait to follow the Twitter feed live, and which is such an, as a show creator and a writer, just to get that immediate feedback. So it's kind of like, it's the sort of silent version of live theater where, you know, you're not hearing the audience laughing or crying or applauding and stuff, but you're reading these comments in real time. It's really amazing. So I'm eagerly anticipating what those comments will look like as the finale airs.
Well, I'm going to save any spoiler talk for later, much later. Okay. But have you been surprised or just happy about some of the interactive feedback you've been getting from fans online, even during Twitter while the show's airing live?
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. I don't have the full access to all numbers, but it seems like we've kind of turned a corner where people who may have not been so interested in the show at first have been kind of hearing about it, and the numbers seem to be turning around as people are discovering the show. And I think that's what this show is. I think we have this obsessive fan base, and some are truly obsessive fans, which is wonderful that they've welcomed the show and they've made it such an important part of their lives. And then we have then the next level of people who really are into the show, not quite as obsessive. And I think they're sharing it with friends. They're really eager. I've seen a bunch of comments like, please watch the show and then let's talk about it. And so there are these people out there that are kind of discovering the show and then sharing that discovery with their friends. And the recurring theme I see over and over on Twitter is, hey, I watched Stitchers. It's actually not a bad show. It's like you can hear the kind of mild surprise that, oh, the show doesn't actually suck. It's kind of the story of my life. I like to keep expectations low and then surprise people.
I think I'm happily in that second camp, because after I saw the first two episodes, I was like, this is a pretty smart, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge show going on here. And I would like people to watch it because I want to see more of it. And I've been telling people, you know, all summer long to check out Stitchers if they can. I did a review of it on the website, which people can check out. I, you know, talked to Emma last week. She was just fantastic. And yeah, just the combination of people who are with heart, who really enjoy what they're doing. They're not quite sure how it's going to play out because they're working for a secret government agency, but they're really dedicated to finding justice for these people who have been murdered, who have been killed, that come into their lab with secrets that need to be told or else justice isn't served. And then mm-hmm. you have Emma trying to figure out who she is, why she is the way she is, a little bit of which we find out in the finale. Mm-hmm. And just, to me, a good story isn't completely a good story unless you have characters that are compelling, engaging, interesting, and really living in the worlds that are being portrayed. And you you nailed that in my book, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's nice to say. I have to share credit where credit is due. The other writers, we really dug in and really felt like, let's really understand who these people are and what's driving them, and while keeping kind of half an eye on this idea that it's also just fun. We know there's a tongue in cheek, but it doesn't mean that we want our characters to not have an emotional resonance. So we had some really, really great writers on staff who were really very, very cognizant that let's not make it a cartoon. Let's really try to give something to the characters while still having fun. And then the cast themselves really just dove in and embraced their characters and kept bringing up things that the characters can do or think or feel. And so it was a real community effort here on the Stitchers stages. It was really great to see everybody just really going for it and not wanting to say, you're the computer nerd. Oh, you're the tough, sassy girl. So you're like, what's really driving these characters? What's the heartache? That's what I particularly like about episode 8, which was the virus episode,
mm-hmm.
that it gave everybody, it's like, okay, go make your goodbye phone calls to whoever you want to say goodbye to. And we get Linus's loving parents, and then Cameron makes the call to his mom, and it's almost, she doesn't even know who he is. So, well, geez, what's that story like?
Yeah.
And Maggie's calling her son, who's obviously in the military, because she talks about how he deployed, and she understands his commitment to his guys, and there's obviously a troubled relationship there, and Kirsten's refusal to call anybody because she refuses to die, and Camille saying her parents left her when she was 16, and everybody she cares about is there with her. So in this span of like 3 or 4 minutes of these goodbye phone calls, we really kind of like pulled a blanket off of these characters who we thought were just sort of two-dimensional, and go, oh my God, everybody has a story.
Yeah, that was very well done. I was very touched about how deeply wounded some of these characters are, but they never really show it until it's literally poked at in that episode.
Yeah, and I think that's how people are in general. That you know, you kind of hide a lot of that stuff, and it takes some big trigger event in your life to go, you know what, I got to drop the mask for a few minutes just for the real me can be seen, and then the mask can go back up again. But at least now we know that there's something behind the mask.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that I'm going to tease a little something and tell everybody that we'll be back after the season finale airs and go full spoilery, but we're not going to do that right here.
Good. Well, I'd be happy to be part of that discussion.
Excellent. So everybody tune into Slice of Sci-Fi next week, and we will dive deeply into spoiler danger territory, because I will actually field questions from other fans who, if you have a question, go ahead, call it in. The number 602-635-6976. Or you can email them to me, summer@sliceofscifi.com. We'll gather them together and we'll ask Jeffrey a whole lot of questions, because I know I will have some more, and people who I've turned on to the show will have questions. But thank you for your time today, and I really look forward to talking spoilers with you next week.
Absolutely, me too. Thank you so much. Great speaking with you, and I'll get my legal pad filled with all my spoilers out so we can have a very intense conversation.
Awesome. And thank you again, Jeffrey, for bringing us such a wonderful show like Stitchers. And everybody listening in, please send me your questions for Jeffrey. We'll, like I said, next week, full wall-to-wall spoilers, no holds barred. Call them in, 602-635-6976, or email them, summer@sliceofscifi.com. And we'll dig deep into all of the secrets season 1 of Stitchers has to offer. So join in the fun. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the hosts of The Quad, a podcast about sci-fi and Space Channel's new series, Killjoys.
Killjoys follows three bounty hunters that operate in a group of planets called The Quad that is on the verge of a class war.
We'll be discussing the episodes as they air and exploring the characters, themes, and story arcs. Find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and at AskGenreTV.com.
See you in The Quad.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome back to Slice of Sci-Fi. Yes, if you couldn't tell, Summer is enamored of the show Stitchers, and I don't know what it is. It's just a fun, quirky little show. The characters have real enough quirks that aren't overwhelming or poking fun at other people who have similar quirks and nerdy tendencies. And they're actually doing good, or trying to do good. They think they're doing good. What the ulterior motives of the agency running the program are, we don't know yet, but we're getting there. And yes, we really are going to have Jeffrey back on next week to talk full boat spoilers on the finale, which airs on Tuesday, and whatever he can tease safely about season two, which, again, since I've already seen the finale, I can't believe they went there, and I can't believe I have to wait a year for them to resolve it. But the happy news is there will be a season two. There will be some resolution and some moving on, unlike what they did to me with Constantine, which I'm still heartbroken over. Anyway, we will be talking. We have a lot of interesting conversations coming up in August. If you remember back to last fall, Stephen Baxter's Proxima really blew the socks off of Tim and Jill in the space opera WOW department. Well, that sequel, Ultima, is out or coming out, and they are currently reading the book and are chomping at the bit to talk about it. We have the release of the William Shatner documentary, Chaos on the Bridge. Danger in Season 1, I believe, is what the tagline for that is. That releases in the U.S. on August 1st and in the U.K. on August 3rd. And William Shatner himself will be talking on Twitter, answering fans' questions about it on August 4th. So check that out. We are actually going to be talking about the documentary because three or four of us have already seen it. And we're chomping at the bit to delve into the behind-the-scenes tidbits that Mr. Shatner dug up. Man, I really wish we could talk directly to him, but he's a busy guy. We also have some more talk coming up about, hopefully, getting some insight into the web series Rift World Chronicles, which is available on YouTube and was airing on CBC in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. They had a Kickstarter campaign earlier this year to get funding to finish season one. Season one turns out to be 8 episodes, about 5 to 7 minutes in length each, and it's not nearly long enough. The acting, the storytelling is amusing. Very, very, very fun. A lot of fun. I want to see more of this, but there's no word on season two yet. So, again, in limbo. What else do we have? Coming up, I think the end of August, beginning of September, is when the season finales on Sci-Fi Channel for Continuum come about. I'm not sure if Lost Girl is in there or not. I'll have to ask Kevin. Or some of you can tell me. But yes, the last few episodes of Continuum will be starting on September 4th. And that's after Dragon Con, which I know a few people are a little annoyed with because they had set up a Continuum panel to talk about the entire series. But the season-ending run of episodes got pushed back several months, thwarting their plans. What else do we have coming up? We have Parsec Awards, which will be announced at Dragon Con as well at the end of August. I don't know where the judging for that stands. I haven't seen any updates on their website about the finalists yet, but keep an eye out. ParsecAwards.com. Head on over and give them a little bit of support. And if you're going to Dragon Con, tell them Summer says hi. But stay tuned next week for Stitcher spoilers wall to wall. Again, if you have any questions for Jeffrey about Stitchers, send them in. But that will do it for this episode. As always, thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments that aren't about Stitchers, go ahead and send those in as well. You can email them, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can email a recording of your question to that same address. Or you can just call in and leave a voice message. That number is 602-635-6976. Check us out on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. We're on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/sliceofscifi. There's also a Facebook group over there. I think it's still running. I hope. Check us out on Google Plus. It should be plus.google.com/plus/sliceofscifi, which is a mouthful. So just search on Slice of Sci-Fi at Google Plus and you'll find it. We have new stuff going up on YouTube. That's youtube.com/sliceofscifi. As always, come to the website, sliceofscifi.com. Leave comments on the articles, the movie reviews we do, or on these very episodes of Slice of Sci-Fi. Add your own commentary, insight, questions, or just confused, random, geeky comments that we can all laugh along with because we know what you're talking about. There's also, it's comic book day for all of you comic book geeks over there. We've got a couple more people coming on to provide reviews and comic book commentary coming soon, so keep an eye out for that. Thank you, everyone, who donates to help support this show. Without your help and support, this show literally would be falling over that razor's edge. So please continue to donate. You can click on the donate button on the website. We are still working on putting up a weekend live show that will be supported through Patreon. Until we get that going, your regular donations through the buttons on the website will suffice. And as always, my undying gratitude to the guys at SciFried for providing our incredible theme music, because everyone knows how much I love rock and roll, and these guys are rock and roll plus geek. It's a win-win all around. Love you guys. Find them over at sci-friedband.com if you want to hear some more of their music. Tell them I sent you and send them love. But that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.